Welcome to London Welsh Rugby Club podcast. This is episode 21. I hope you all enjoyed listening to Samo's rugby journey in last week's pod. A great career in rugby, finished off with 5 years at the club where he made quite a few friends. We hope to welcome him back to one of our pre-match lunches when rugby returns. We have just heard from the RFU that Community League rugby will not return until at least January due to the recent spike in COVID, but the senior squads and the minis and youth are still training at ODP and adhering to the Stage D Return to Rugby RFU guidelines. Please keep an eye on developments on our website and social media for any news. This is when we, as supporters of this club, need to pull together to ensure we are best placed when rugby does return. I do ask our listeners to review the podcast where possible, as this helps the podcast's visibility on some of the podcast platforms. This review that I'll read out now perfectly encapsulates why this series was created for our global fan base. I'm missing all the personalities and characters at the club since moving out to London. This is such a good way to keep up to date with the London Welsh rugby community. It lessens the hierarchy. Hear, hear. That was our review of the week. Maybe we'll read another one out next week. This week's guest is quite a character around the minis and certainly galvanised our mass army of volunteers to help inspire the next generation of players at the club. I personally feel it's important that our listeners get to hear from different people at the club, and I feel that this week's guest will certainly be around to make an even bigger contribution to the club the longer he stays involved. This week's guest is none other than Minis chairman, Simon Statton. Enjoy. This podcast is sponsored by London Welsh Developments. London Welsh Developments offer the entire range of services for all your home needs, from plumbing, electricals, joinery, building and maintenance. Their many years of experience building all forms of extensions and conversions, the odd new build, and some bespoke garden rooms and home offices. You will clearly see the attention to detail and an understanding of your home that is difficult to match. They really do care and want the best for your home with no stone left unturned. For more information, contact London Welsh Developments on 0208 335 9123 or on email at info@lwdltd.co.uk. London Welsh Developments. Welcome to the pod, Minis chairman and all-round good guy, Simon Statton. How are you, Simon?
Very well, Gareth. Very well. How are you?
Yes, all very good. Very good. So with in these strange situation and times that we're in, I'm asking our guests how they've been. So how have you been and the family in Teddington during this period?
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, all things considered, Gareth, considering, you know, the hardships that many are facing, I guess, at the moment. I think my family and I are really fortunate. And I say that because, we're, you know, myself, my wife, son and daughter, fit, well and healthy. And, you know, considering what is going on in the world and on our own shores here, I frankly don't think we've got much to complain about, actually.
That's fair enough. Obviously, you look like a person who keeps himself fit and you seem in a good place mentally. So how have we done that across the last 6 months, Simon?
Well, I mean, from a business point of view, the company I work for, we've got a head office in the sprawling metropolis that is Thamesdon. So we've had to keep a skeleton staff in the office throughout lockdown. So as my wife has said, I've been coming into the office every day through lockdown. So I've maintained that level of normality, if you like. And with Manda, my wife, having to do the homeschooling thing with our two children, as she has said, not having two of us in the house 24/7 has been a real godsend. So that has really helped.
A marriage saviour, really, isn't it?
Absolutely, and that's as much as my wife talking as myself, Gareth.
So you talk about your work there. So what do you do for a living? And obviously, it's fairly local. So yeah, what do you do for a living, Simon?
I work for a vehicle leasing and vehicle fleet management company. So it's a company about 105 employees. And as I said, we're headquartered in an office in Thames Ditton, and we've got three other workshop facilities dotted around the country. So I've actually been here many years, so it's a really good place to work, actually.
Oh, great stuff. And as always, you know, because you're in charge of the minis, with obviously a huge volunteer army that we do have, but how did the impact of COVID end the season for the minis? You know, what did people miss out on because it finished in the middle of March rather than the end of April?
Yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, we were really fortunate that we managed to get our Dragon Festival in before lockdown. So, you know, we had our home St. David's Festival in February, of course. And then running into March, so the, you know, our big home festival being the Dragon Festival was on the 15th of March, Sunday the 15th. And of course, not more than, 7 days later, the country was locked down. So on a positive note, to be able to get the Dragon Festival in completed was great, actually. And you know, we had some long discussions prior to that as to whether it'd even go ahead. And it was great to hear, you know, I had a number of calls from some of the other minis chairmen that were due to bring their mini sections to the festival saying, you know, we support you going ahead because the country hasn't been locked down yet. So if you are going to do it, we really support you that it's done. And of course, that was the last hurrah for the minis for the season. So, as I said, it was great that we could get that in. Of course, the disappointing element was that we couldn't then hold at the end of the season our Colours Night, Awards Night, which is always a great night when we've got awards for all the minis age groups and the parents there as well. So that was obviously a disappointment. And of course, then none of the minis age groups could go on tour to really finish the season with a bang. So, you know, that was a disappointment. But, you know, fingers crossed, all being well, there'll be plenty of tours ahead for us all to go on in the future.
Yeah, so that is a great shame because I think the Colours Night, if, for those who don't know, it's a night where you pack the most people you possibly get in the pagoda room within fire regulations, shall we say, and then which is huge. It's a great night, and for the tours, you know, it really builds deeper connections between parents, their children, and other parents in the club, doesn't it? Those tours are just magical, aren't they?
The tours, I think at Minnie's level, the tours are really important, not just for the fun that the children have playing in different parts of the country and against different children from different teams, but I think you're absolutely right. The bond that it creates within the parent group as well and the coaches is not to be underestimated, because, you know, we see parents every Sunday morning, and of course we have a chat with the parents before and after training, but, you know, you perhaps don't know a huge amount about each other just for a few hours to spend on a Sunday morning. So yeah, the tour is great for parents to get to know each other better as well.
And speaking of getting to know each other better, we're here to get to know you better. So we'll come on to the minis a bit later. So just like to understand, obviously, you told me in the week that it was interesting to hear Rhiannon's background at your sports club, realising she was a Bridge End girl, because that's when you declared to me that you were from Bridge End. So you're from Bridge End. So what schools did you attend, and when did you sort of commence playing rugby in your schooling life?
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm born and raised in Bridge End. So I went to Trelallis Primary, which is just on the outskirts of Bridge End, heading towards Puthcawl. And then I went to Brinterion Comprehensive. There's only two comprehensives in Bridge End, Brinterion and Brinteg. Brinteg is the posher one, I went to Brinterion. And so I started playing rugby in primary school, you know, as we did then from 8 years old. And it was actually the sports and rugby master at primary school that came up with the nickname Stats. Not difficult. He said, "What's your surname, Staten?" He said, "Well, shorten that to Stats." And it's stuck ever since. Yeah, I went to Brinterion Comprehensive, played rugby there, of course. That's pretty much all we played, even through the summer. And Played for Pencoed RFC for their junior section from about under 12.
So that's when you started playing for a club, was it? Yeah, exactly that.
So played Pencoed juniors under 12 to under 16. And coincidentally, in my age group, the age group I was in, Gareth Thomas, Alfie, was in the same age group as well. So played rugby with Alfie from under 12s to under 16s.
So he's the second best player to come out of Pencoed then?
Well, of course. Yes, of course. and then under 17s, I went to play at Bridgend, for Bridgend Youth, Bridgend Rugby Club Youth. For two seasons, so was it 17s and 18s, and then went to Loughborough University.
And did you do any sort of district stuff at all? Because what I don't understand really is, like, why do you move from Pencoed to Bridgend? And when did any sort of eighth grade representation come into the mix for you potentially?
Yeah, I played district rugby, back in early years of comprehensive, but frankly, Pencoed RFC had a really good junior section from under 12s. So I think about four or five of us that were mates in Brinterion in the comprehensive school, four or five of us went to play at Pencoed. But I guess, you know, being a Bridgend boy, when it came to youth rugby, I wanted to play at Bridgend at the Brewery Field there, so that's why I went then back to Bridgend before leaving to go to university.
As you mentioned, you went to Loughborough, and then Loughborough is a sporting university with many a great sporting star based there. So what was your degree in, and you said you played rugby there, so how did you get on in your rugby, rugby career, but rugby life in at Loughborough?
Yeah, well, I actually had 5 years at Loughborough University, not because I was doing a medical degree or anything, but let's just say I didn't do too well in my A levels. I think rugby and perhaps drinking got in the way of studying. So I did a foundation year, a sort of engineering foundation year for the first year at Loughborough. And so I managed to luckily get into the Loughborough Freshers squad. I got through the trial and I was in, played there for the first year I was there. And, there's a couple of other guys. One guy had actually had that year, it was his first inclusion into the full Island side. So it was a really, really good standard in the first year, and then I played through Loughborough. And actually, believe it or not, in my fresher year at Loughborough, Rich Elliott was in the same squad as well. Who Rich Elliott, you played for London Welsh in the pro era.
Oh wow.
So 5 years at Loughborough and played in the. Played in the firsts in my final year, and Loughborough always had an annual fixture, for example, against Leicester Tigers. So we played at Welford Road one evening against the Tigers. I actually happened to captain the students that night, and playing against the likes of Tony Underwood was playing that evening. Niall Malone, who was the Irish fly half at the time, was playing. So. Incredible occasion. I think there's about 3,000 people watching, something like that as well.
That's amazing. That sort of thing is just great memories for you, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Through, that's, who gets to play that sort of crowd? It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, playing against some of those household names as they were at the time, for us was tremendous. We got absolutely stuffed, to be honest, Gar, that night, but playing at Welford Road was a great experience,
Well, character forming, they call that, isn't it? Character forming. Look, so you finished at Loughborough, and then did you then go back to Wales, or did you come down to London and settle in London, really?
Yeah, pretty much. I think I spent, after graduation, I think it was 3 weeks back at home with mum and dad, and then I was heading down to the Big Smoke, so to speak.
Yeah, and the streets are paved with gold, aren't they, in London? So you came to London. So did you play rugby in London at all?
Well, I came to London to find my fortune. I'm still looking, by the way. But no, I guess I suppose I drifted away from rugby a bit then, Gar. I said really wanted to kind of get stuck into a career, and so a mate was living in Mortlake. So two of us actually shared with him. So three of us were in a house for a couple of years in Mortlake. So I've always been around Southwest London, coincidentally not very far from London Welsh and O'Dea Park whatsoever. But yeah, I kind of drifted away from rugby a bit, as I concentrated on career, I guess. And I'd still go back home, and I'd still go to the home Six Nations games, for example, but really wasn't playing rugby so much there.
So did you get back into the game at all? Because you mentioned it when we had a brief chat beforehand, that you went to Esher for a bit to play for them. Was that like first team rugby, because they were obviously playing at championship level or national one at some point, or was that then one of their second?
No, not first team. I played for the seconds, to be honest. I think I was only there for one season, actually, and it didn't feel no disrespect to Esher, of course, but it just didn't feel like, I guess I hadn't settled in, you know. And I probably think my heart wasn't in it anyway at the time, so as I said, kind of drifted away a bit. But then I think I actually came to play at London Welsh in 2004-2005, something like that, when my mates from home, actually, that I went to primary school with in comprehensive, he was living in London as well, so we'd meet up for a few beers every now and again, and coincidentally he knew one of the guys that was playing at the Ockies at the time. Anybody listening to this will know the character that is Red, Geraint Davis. And frankly, he was badgering me for probably a good couple of seasons to say, come down, get your boots on, and you know, come down and play for the Ockies. And eventually did, and I think that was probably 2004, 2005, something like that.
So I don't know how many games the Ockies have every season, but did you play for a few seasons? And who were the sort of characters around the squad then when you were playing?
I didn't play a huge amount of games for them, to be honest. I played probably no more than about, in total, about 20 games over the 10 years or so. But I mean, our current esteemed chairman, Danny Griffiths, of course, he was very much part of the squad, and there's plenty of other characters that, you know, still involved. Charlie Thompson, for example, who one of the coaches as well with the youth section. Damien McCarthy, of course.
Yeah.
The coach as well there. So yeah, there's still plenty of, you know, great rugby characters that I met through the Ockies and now still see, you know, every weekend.
And some you want to be stuck in a bar with and some you don't, eh?
it depends. What games are being played, I guess.
Yeah. So did you, in those days, did you go on any tours or were you involved in any sort of these infamous rev sessions? You don't have to go into any detail or tell any secrets, but were you part of these sort of inaugural ceremonies or post-season things?
Well, of course. I mean, the rev sessions, as you say, are legendary, and couldn't possibly divulge any detail, certainly before the watershed. But no, I think, I mean, they were brilliant nights. Yeah, they were, you know, great fun, and not so much fun the following morning, of course. But you know, it's kind of, for me, it's what, or part of what a rugby club is all about. So yeah, there were some fantastic nights being part of the Ockies group of players.
Hopefully, plenty more to come. But obviously, you then gave up for a certain reason. Is that because of injuries or family and just having to be a presence for the family?
So I mean, Megan, my daughter, she's 11 in a couple of months' time, so you know, when she arrived then, you know, time is very precious, and there's very little of it. So with career, of course, and then young family, Tom arrived what, 20 months later, so we had, you know, two very young children. So yeah, usual story, I guess, you know, busy times, family, professional commitments means there's little time for much else, to be honest.
I suppose that the beauty of having children is, you know, when they get to a certain age, you can reintroduce them to and keep your connections with a club like London Welsh, can you? So did you bring Tom to London Welsh, and you obviously would have been introduced to the Little Wizards and the magic of Seb and Julian. Is that right?
The legends that are Seb and Julian. Yeah, absolutely. I still, it's one of those things, you know, one of those moments in time that's crystal clear in the mind. I vividly remember it now. It was a beautiful sunny morning down at Grey Court School. It was when the Little Wizards were doing their first few sessions at Grey Court. And there was only ever going to be one rugby club that my boy started his rugby journey on, of course. And, you know, Teddington Rugby Club is pretty much spitting distance from where we live. But he was only ever going to start his career at London Welsh. So, yeah, remember it well, the first session he had at Grey Court with Seb and Julian.
And so obviously, you know, how did you then be coerced into coaching or leading that year group? Because somehow Seb and Julian weave their magic, don't they? And on parents, and they seem to pick on the right parents at the right time, and then you're hooked, aren't you, really?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what made me chuckle listening to Rhiannon Williams pod a couple of weeks ago, and then she said, I think you know, she said that she got you know, ambushed into stepping up with the supporters club. And again, I vividly remember, probably it was probably only about 6 weeks into the season from when Tom, I'd been taking Tom down to Old Deer Park. We were obviously back from Grey Court then, and I remember Seb, he handed me a whistle and said, do you mind coming to just help out in the sessions? I said, yeah, of course, I'm no problem at all. And little did I know what that handing me the whistle really meant. So I guess it all started from there then.
I think those two chaps are responsible for 2/3 of the board at the moment by giving them whistles or something to do when their children were in under sixes. So, which is great. But what's it, you know, what's it like? How can you explain to people listening to this who haven't had children in the minis, you know, what it's like being involved, you know, with the under sevens and the under eights and coaching them and what you get out of it?
First of all, you know, you can't say, look, I can't speak highly enough of what Julian and Seb do for, not just for the children that are coming into the club, their first experience of rugby and what London Welsh is all about. It's just massive. And then, of course, as parents then, you know, after the under sixes, after the Little Wizards, then you're front and centre, you know, then you're stepping into the middle, so to speak. And that's very daunting, particularly if you're not, you know, a teacher, for example. You've got your own children, but it's a very different thing to be standing with upwards of 20, you know, 6-7-year-olds, and you've got to try and coordinate a coaching and a training session. So that was quite daunting, I have to say. But you know, you're all volunteers and you do it because you've got a passion. And so what's wonderful about it, I think, I mean, this is now, we've just started our fifth season, myself and the other coaches in the under 10s, our fifth season of mini rugby, 4 seasons of which we've been coaching. And I don't say this lightly, but when you see how the children develop, I'm not just talking in a rugby sense, but their characters, how they develop as well. But certainly when you see them playing, when they've got a rugby ball in hand and it's starting to click, you can see them really understanding certain, you know, phases of the game, passing is getting better. And they're starting to actually, you know, play some really good rugby. It's fantastic to see, actually, that sort of evolution.
No, it is great. But obviously, you seem, as Minnie's chairman, you're overseeing, you know, 5 or 6 year groups. But, you know, you seem to have a really real social bunch under 10s, and you've really connected well, haven't you? That's the parents I'm talking about now, really.
Yeah, no, we've got a great bunch, a great coaching cohort, if you like, with the under 10s. What I love about it as well, we've kind of got, you know, it's like the start of a joke, because we've got Welshmen, of course, we've got Englishmen, we've got South Africans, we've got New Zealanders, we've got an Argentinian with us as well. So we've got a great bunch of guys, you know, and you can imagine the banter we're having week in, week out as well. So, yeah, we got a great bunch. But I have to say, you know, the coaching cohort across all the age groups is fantastic. You know, I mean, bear in mind, everyone's a volunteer, of course, at the club, whatever they're doing, coaching, helping with team management, administration. So, you know, the amount of commitment and time that these people put into the club, not just on a Sunday morning, but in prep for the Sunday, it's just, you know, it's just fantastic.
So in that sense, how supportive is the club to these coaching parents then? You know, are we doing enough for them?
I think we can do more. I certainly think we can do more. I mean, one of the things I just touched on, for example, is that transition from being a parent standing on the touchline at under six when Seb and Julian are doing all the hard work in the middle of the field, so to speak. That transition from under six then to actually being a coach with the under sevens is massive. So I think, you know, we've tried to do a bit more with the incoming under sevens. We can do a lot more, I think, in terms of knowledge share and get them, you know, prepared for those first couple of sessions and the first couple of seasons for coaching, you know, mini rugby. So we can certainly do some more there. And of course, I think a lot of it is just trying to coordinate and communicate the depth of knowledge that we've got within the club across all the age groups. Because, you know, as you're coaching minis each year, of course, you're learning more. And coaches within the youth section have got more experience than us in the under 10s, 11s and 12s. So I think we can certainly coordinate the vast amount of knowledge that's spread across the club more coherently, if you like. A work in progress, I guess.
No, I agree. I think maybe we should look at, like every week you have a guest coach. Say from your under 10s, you go to your under 12s for a week and see what they're doing. And then you bring that learning back to your under 10 session. And then the under 12s go to under 14 session. Understand then that's how they learn that way, maybe. And they can knowledge share. So you can actually visibly participate in the session as a coach and take that learning moving forward. So that's just something I thought of now, but I'm sure there's loads of ideas.
Well, we started to do that actually with the sort of from the refereeing side within the minis, within the coaching. So we've started now sort of sharing. So from a refereeing point of view, we had a couple of sessions last season where, like exactly as you just described, where some of the coaches would either go up or down an age group on a Sunday morning to either share or learn from the older or younger age group, to exactly do that, just to start sharing a bit more within the age groups within the minis. But as I said, we can certainly do a lot more between minis, youth, and perhaps even then, you know, tapping into Kai and Will at a senior level as well.
No, definitely. We can always do more, can't we? But it's in a great place at the moment. And also, you then, you know, you're coaching in the sevens and the eights, and then you step up to become Minis chairman. You're the most important role at London Welsh, right? And you know, so what's involved as Minis chairman? Because it is daunting taking on that role. You know, it definitely is. But then you find out, you know, you'll do it in your own way, and you have lots of support because there's so many great people around, aren't there?
I get a bit embarrassed, I guess, with being quoted as the Minis chairman, because frankly, the amount of support that I get day in, day out, week in, week out from so many people to try and make, you know, the Minis section run as smoothly as possible and you know, frankly, in the best interests of the children and the coaches that are coaching the children. As I said, it's staggering the commitment that the volunteers put into that, you know. And I think, you know, the likes of Brendan McQueen, I mean, there's so many names I could mention, Gareth, but, you know, certainly Brendan McQueeny, Rich Edwards, you know, there's a whole raft of people.
Don't start mentioning names, Simon, because you're going to miss people off.
That's why I do. As I started saying that, I thought, all right, hang on. But that's my point, though. You know, it's nowhere near just me. There's you know, lots and lots of people week in, week out, trying to make the experience for the children and the parents, frankly, on a Sunday as you know, the best it can be.
Well, what's involved in the role? What do you think are the so key main aspects of the role as for Minis chairman, so people can understand?
Well, kind of, I mean, communicating and coordinating. So, you know, trying to make sure that all the team managers and coaches, know what's going on, what's happening, you know, what's going on at club level that perhaps we need to know at minis level. Because in fairness, all the coaches and the team managers at each age group know exactly what they're doing, or particularly the older ones who've been doing it a number of seasons. But there's a lot of that, and you know, just the administration of it as well, and trying to keep it, I guess, running as close to a professional sort of setup as possible, albeit that it's an amateur club and manned by volunteers, where time is precious and there's not much of it perhaps to go around, you know.
I think, you know, there's lots involved with lots of volunteers, and sometimes some parents think that some people work for the club because there's so much work involved. But you know, you're obviously doing a great job, and I can sense the enjoyment you're getting out from being a minis chairman because, you know, of all the great volunteers we have. But I think what I'd like to get across here really is why are the minis and the parents so important to the overall club?
Yeah, well, I mean, the obvious statement, I guess, is that, you know, by its nature, the mini section is the first experience that children have of playing rugby. And I think what's really important is not just the fact that they're playing, you know, playing the game, but it's the club and the culture of the club that they're playing with. I think, you know, obviously I'm very biased in terms of the values of rugby, and you know, it's what I was born and bred on, but I think it's much bigger as a parent, the experience children have playing rugby beyond the actual game itself. So you know, what they learn with regards teamwork and sportsmanship and, you know, respect, I think is actually far bigger in terms of, you know, life experience than playing the game with the oval ball. So that's maybe an obvious statement. Of course, it brings more families, more children into London Welsh and you know, supporting and bolstering the membership numbers of the club itself. So that's naturally a really important thing. And of course, then the membership and revenue that comes with having more members of the club. But I'd also like to think that, you know, it's the first rugby club that perhaps children play at, so they'd consider it certainly it'd be their first, but maybe their home club as they grow older as well. Then, coincidentally, we had one of our players. It was his last session with the under 10s last Sunday. His family, his mum's a New Zealander, and they're moving to New Zealand. And we did a little presentation for him. But as we said, hopefully you'll remember the three, four seasons at London Welsh Minis and consider this to be your first and always home rugby club. You know, and it's that association, I guess, that is hopefully something that we're breeding as well.
No, that's great to hear. So, but how could we as a club engage those mini parents more? Because on a Sunday morning, we can have between 300 and 400 people, with 2/3 of those being the players and the other third the parents. How can we get them to come on a Saturday afternoon to watch the Ockies, the first, or to watch a women's game, just to feel even a bigger part of the overall sort of club community?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is a challenge because, you know, speaking as a parent, I guess, you know, and particularly the nature of where we all live, of course, Southwest London, there's a lot of things that families can be doing on a weekend. There's a lot of distractions, you know, outside of rugby. I mean, good God, compared to me growing up in Bridgend, there's only other, you know, only really rugby, maybe a bit of football, but of course, Southwest London, that's very different. You know, and as we all know, the amount of time that a family has to spend together is pretty limited as well. So, you know, trying to get parents to the club on a Saturday as well as a Sunday morning is tough. That being said, though, you know, over the last couple of seasons, we've tried to, you know, have a few more half-time games. We had a great half-time game against Grasshoppers Minis when the first played Hoppers at home in November last year. That was great. We really wanted to do some more player tunnels where we have the minis, you know, holding the flags for when the first team run out onto the park at Old Deer Park. Maybe have some half-time, you know, some mascots and running out with the players as well. We were really looking to do more of that this season to engage, you know, parents to bring their children and themselves, of course, to the club on a Saturday. Obviously, that's been somewhat scuppered with COVID, but, you know, we still got plans for that. We're also mapping out, you know, obviously with being promoted to the higher league, maybe organising a few cheeky away trips on a Saturday to support the firsts, stay overnight at that club, and then play their mini section on the Sunday morning. You know, we had some plans to do that. Of course, we've not been able to plan that as yet due to the current circumstance. So there's a few things that, you know, we're trying to do. We were also hoping to have a start of the season barbecue for the minis and get you know, parents there for that. And of course, that's been scuppered with lockdown. So there's a few things that we've got in mind, and also being mindful at the same time that, you know, time is precious and we can't expect families to be at the club all day Saturday and all day Sunday. So, you know, trying to strike a balance, I guess, Gav.
Some great initiatives there, though, Simon. I think you know, once people do come and watch a game and realise, you know, they could bring, you know, a child or any of their children with them, who can then run around and play on the sideline, or they're chatting to some other parents or other supporters, having a couple of pints on a Sunday, Saturday on an Old Deer Park. And once they sort of sense that magic of, you know, this is down the road from me and it's great quality sports and it's my club, you know, once they understand the magic of that, they'll be back for more, won't they?
Oh, totally. I mean, you know, obviously I'm preaching to the converted, but I mean, the number of times on a Saturday afternoon where, you know, Tom and I go to the club and, you know, some of the other guys come along and bring their children. Frankly, we really don't see them because we're interested in watching the game. They just grab a rugby ball. They're off on the under-13s pitch just along the side there. And they're playing their own game of rugby, you know. So it's great to see them. Off they go, and they're playing their own game, you know. So yeah, absolutely.
Just as long as you remember you don't drink too much and you don't forget to take your children home with you.
Well, that's one of the things. Being a minis coach, you certainly remember that. You know, 8 o'clock next morning, 8:30, you're there having to, you know, coordinate the children and try and teach them some rugby.
It keeps you honest on a Saturday, which is the main thing. But it's been so some of the initiatives the club have done recently is obviously Kai and Will's camps. How have they been received by some of the minis parents and children, do you think?
Oh, very well. I mean, I'm often getting messages, you know, in advance of half term, Easter break, summer break, you know, saying when's Kai and Will's camps this year, or this holiday and that kind of thing. So yeah, no, I think they're very well received. And if you consider what we've been going through for the last 6 months, you know, it was great that Kai and Will could run some of the summer camps through July and August. And I think they were pretty much sold out within, you know, a few hours of them being set live. So, no, they're great. They're great.
So, you know, when this pod goes out, the minis will have been back for about 4 weeks now. So what are the challenges have COVID and the RFU guidelines put on the minis?
Well, quite considerable, as you can imagine. You know, starting the season is chaotic enough, I guess, you know, once we've all had a break and getting minds back into rugby. But, I mean, I can't say strongly enough the amount of effort that everyone's put in to ensure that not only that we could start rugby, but most importantly, that we could start it in a safe environment and a COVID-compliant environment for, you know, the benefit of the children and the families involved. I mean, you know, safety and well-being of the children is absolutely priority one within the mini section. No matter what's going on in the world, it's always priority one. So obviously we had our first two sessions at Great Court School. So, you know, we were I was liaising directly with Maddie at Great Court School to check, you know, risk assessments for the playing area at the school. We made sure that each age group had the correct cleaning equipment for the training session, all in line with the RFU stage D protocols. Making sure that each team manager and each coach for each age group knew exactly what the training session was allowed to do, what it wasn't allowed to do, and make sure that everyone knew exactly how to manage track and trace and the players and the families turning up. So huge amount of work's gone into creating a safe environment for our families. And it's great now. Obviously, we had our first session back at Odea Park. Great to have access then to the club and the food and the drink and everything. But again, a huge amount of work gone into ensuring that the environment is safe for everybody visiting on a Sunday morning.
No, that's fair enough. And it is great back to be at London Welsh. And we obviously put on record our thanks to Odea Park for facilitating the minis being back in a safe manner. But look, the season is going to look different for a while. What are the minis got lined up then to sort of ensure that we're keeping the players engaged in the sessions?
Well, we've got, in fairness, it's not often that a Welshman will say this, but I do think the RFU have done a great job in communicating out to clubs about, ideas for how you can adjust a training session under obviously whatever stage. We're at stage D, of course, at the moment, which is the fourth stage of six stages of the RFU's return to rugby roadmap. So obviously stage six being full contact rugby as we know it. So and the RFU also created this ready for rugby version of touch rugby, which I have to say I think is fantastic. So it's a version of touch rugby, but it's probably as close to contact rugby without it being contact. And so we've been playing that adapted versions of that with the children as well to try and keep them engaged in the absence of really being able to play full on rugby at the relevant age group, of course. So I think they've done a really good job of that. And in fairness, I think all the coaches at each age group, they put a lot of thought into how they can adapt their training sessions on a Sunday morning to keep the children enjoying rugby, albeit, certainly for the older age groups from nine upwards, albeit they can't do, full-on contact, rucking, mauling, scrumming. So I think it's all credit to our coaches for keeping it fresh and within the current guidelines of lockdown, and making it COVID safe.
That's good to hear that. Look, I don't say that's enough about the minis, but we spoke about the minis a bit. But you came out of retirement last season and played a game for the Vets. I think it's probably the same weekend as the end of the mini season in a way. And it was on a Friday night. From my perspective, it was a man the match appearance from yourself. Take us through that experience of putting that shirt on again and being in the Oldie Park dressing room and playing, for the Vets under those great floodlights.
It was brilliant. I mean, I have to say, it was the first time I played a game of rugby for 4 years, I think it was. Joking aside, I don't say this lightly, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, being able to, be in the changing rooms with the boys and pull on a pair of boots and get out onto the pitch, and actually, obviously, I guess from the touchline, the pace was quite slow. I have to say, being in the middle of the pitch, it felt like we were playing at 100 miles an hour. Just playing the game again and with a bunch of guys and trying to win, of course. The commitment was absolutely 100%. Maybe the skills weren't. I'm speaking about myself there, by the way. But the enjoyment I had out of that game was just fantastic. I was more concerned, Gar, about getting injured, but getting injured and then having to go home injured. That was the thing I was most worried about.
But going home after the few beers you had afterwards, I think we've spoken before, I think, with Danny on this pod around the takings at the bar took that night from all the players. And there's quite a good crowd watching as well on the Friday. And by the way, as a person who watched that game, I thoroughly enjoyed watching it, right? Because you're invested in it. Lots of people, you know, playing it. And, okay, it wasn't a million miles an hour. It might have felt like that for you, but it was enjoyable for us to watch. But it was also enjoyable to see everyone, the camaraderie afterwards in a bar on a Friday night. That was, to me, was special as well.
For me, anybody that was there, I mean, look, it was a Vets game on a Friday evening. Great to see, actually, the support on the touchline. There was some of the dads there from my age group, Minnie's age group, supporting as well, which is fantastic. But yeah, I'm looking in the clubhouse after, you know, mixing, chatting with the guys from the opposition, singing. We were singing in the bar as well. I mean, for me, that just summed up everything that's great about rugby.
So if you want to keep being involved in rugby at London Welsh and you're of similar age to stats, there's Vets Rugby, but also to pay for Vets Rugby, what you can do now on a Monday evening is play touch rugby. So you're involved with that, Stats, aren't you, as well, and Graham Booth, another of Minnie's parents, organises it. What is touch rugby on Monday night, and who's involved in it?
That's great fun. It's absolutely great fun. So, I mean, yeah, Graham Booth does a great job. Again, like he's one of the coaches. He's got son in our age group and a son in the under 11, but he also coordinates and runs the touch rugby sessions every Monday, and they're great fun. I mean, we've got, I mean, what, on Monday evening just gone, we probably had about, I think, 36 people turn up to play, and the spread of people that come is great. We've got, you know, boys and girls from the youth section. We've got some, you know, senior squad players there. Rowan Pixley, Stephen Frank from the seniors, from the first team squad, they were there. We've got, you know, girls that are coming, Coops from the women's section, and a few of the other girls from the women's team come along as well. So, you know, it's great fun. You don't have to have played rugby at all. It doesn't matter what level you're at. It's a great opportunity to turn up on a Monday, have a good laugh, have lots of banter, throw a rugby ball around. And of course, under the floodlights now on pitch two, well, maybe some of us older players, Guy, used to like the fact that there used to be a few dark spots we could hide on under the old lights, but now, of course, there's no chance of hiding.
your rest period, yeah.
Yeah, precisely, yeah. Exactly. Look. But no, I encourage, you know, anybody to come and give it a try. Need to get in touch with Graham, because obviously we need to make sure the track and trace is absolutely watertight. But it's such great fun. I think on Monday night we had probably, I think there was six of us from the under 10, six dads from the under 10s, you know. So great fun.
That's good to hear that. Look, and just to wrap up then, Simon, really, so what does it mean to you and your family to be involved in such a club like London Welsh?
I don't say this lightly, Gab, but for me, and I know it's a cliche, but and I think some of the other guys have said it, Gwyn said it on his pod, but for me as a Welshman, and, you know, born and bred on rugby, being able to be part of not just a rugby club, but London Welsh Rugby Club, and its history and all of that is really important to me, and I don't say that lightly. And what I would add to that as well, it's not just about the fact that it's got a Welsh history and pedigree, because part of what I love about the club is that, as I mentioned earlier, with regards to the coaches we've got in the under-10s, it's about being part of the rugby culture with many different people from many different backgrounds and nationalities, and the banter that comes with that. So, being able to walk into a rugby club, see familiar faces, chat to people, really relaxed, and everything about being part of a rugby club and the culture and the people, as you can probably tell from the way I talk about it, is really important. And now to have, you know, my daughter's often come down, you know, with us to watch as well. She's not playing, but I'm working on that one. But to have my son now you know, play, not just play rugby, but play rugby for London Welsh, it means a lot, really does.
No, it is special, and you know, couldn't put that better myself. It's fantastic to hear that. And Stats, look, you're doing an amazing job, an amazing club. Thank you for your time. Good luck for the season. The minis are very, 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 very important for London Welsh, and long may that continue. Thank you very much, Stats.
No, that's great, Gark. Yeah, good to talk with you. Diolch yn fawr.
Dim problem.